You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
All right, you ready?
Thank you, Joseph. That's beautiful.
No. That's Will's seat. Where's the wedding ring?
Alice, you were his wife. Why aren't you wearing it? I'm not sure.
Did you sell it?
No, of course not.
It'd be a good prize.
I really think we should do this another time.
No, now's the best time.
Will's looking down on us from above.
From above. He's down below.
William, my sweet boy. I would give anything for us to be together again.
My grandfather believed the devil would return. If anyone read from the Book of the Dead,
calm down. The whole family can be reunited. Cheers
to your perfect family.
Sorry. And we're here. Okay, geez. Okay, calm down.
Sorry. I was a little scared because it's just the two of us.
I know. It is just, and a spoiler logo, which I've left up there just for fun. Why not? Yeah. Tonight, we're your podcast. Tonight, hello. It's Quinny and Dion and the spoiler logo. We're out.
And it's Dion and Quinny.
It's just there for fun.
Yes, just spoilers every which way.
Yeah.
This is going back old school. This is back to the Quinny and Dion show. Back, yeah. You know, in the early days of Periodic Table of Awesome.
This is Quinny. Tonight we're doing Squirrel Talk, and today we're going to be talking about the Appalachian Squirrel.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic! I love the Appalachian.
Love the Appalachian Squirrel. That comes from an area where deadites. Anyway.
Yeah, the woods. Yeah, the woods. We're definitely big in the woods up there.
Not a cabin in the woods this time, though. That's not a cabin. That's a fully functional house with a basement and an outdoor area.
Okay. Yeah.
And a thing. But we're not getting into that. Hello, and hello to everyone in the chat. Yes. Hello. We're all here, and we're tonight to horror classics. We're here to give ourselves a little bit of a taste of the old good time that we used to have when you go and see a scary movie.
Oh, yes. You know? Yes, indeed.
And not scary movie.
No. We're not watching the Scary Movie 6, which is a film that looked so unfunny it made my head hurt. This is something a little bit, a little bit different. We're going back old school. We are jumping back into the oeuvre of Sam Raimi and his Evil Dead series, which, I mean, has quite a long and storied history.
Sure. This is the sixth film in the franchise, which includes a television series.
And right. I was going to say, are we including the television series?
Ash vs. the Evil Dead is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's be honest. The best way to describe it is if it has a deadite in it, which is not a zombie and is not a demon. You know, it's its own specific thing. I mean, yeah. It says demons, but like
I don't know. Like, so okay, this is a bit of a thing. So deadites are they demons? I always thought they were kind of demons.
Yeah, well, they're demons trapped within who've taken over the flesh of humans. So it's not technically a demon. It's a deadite. It's a possessed human shell.
Right.
That is the deadite because it has to be dead, technically.
does it? Because, I mean, no. Even that seems uncertain at times because there are people who, you know, go from being alive to then suddenly quite dead-eyed.
I don't make these rules, Quinny, because I've got to admit that this may be the sixth film in the franchise and I've watched three of them. So I'm kind of coming into this
going, which ones have you watched?
Ooh. Evil Dead, the original one, which was a little bit shit. Evil Dead 2, which was the remake of the exact same film, which was mildly better. And
well,
then,
remake until they decided, oh, well, we're going to make this a lot funnier now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, mildly better. And then the absolute pinnacle of any of this, which is Army of Darkness. Yeah. Oh. That's when it really shines.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one where we finally kind of go, okay, what are we making here? Oh, we're making a comedy with Bruce Campbell and a whole bunch of kind of goofy, weird, you know, slightly supernatural, but mostly kind of stupid shit.
I realized I thought I had seen the remake in 2013 of Evil Dead. And then I realized, no, I haven't. I haven't seen Evil Dead. or the other one, Evil Dead Rise. And so I walked into Burn going, well, this will be fun.
Well, we did have that kind of conversation with Travis, who was there. And, you know, I was like, so I remember going and watching Evil Dead Rise when that came out 3 years ago, 2023.
Sure.
And realizing whilst watching that I'm pretty sure I hadn't seen the 2013 Evil Dead. So, I mean, in some ways, I don't even think of those as being particularly connected. And then I was like, are these connected? Travis was like, dude, it's just an anthology series now. Like, these are, you know, not really connected, though.
I will say,
apparently, Rise and Burn are connected. But
look, the linchpin, the whole thing for the entire stuff has nothing to do with who's on screen fighting the Deadites. It's
no.
Just the Deadites.
Yeah. It's there are key things that you will find in every Evil Dead thing.
Yeah.
One, the Necronomicon. That's basically like, or at least a reference to the Necronomicon. Then you'll probably have some kind of tape deck that is playing recordings from people reading from the Necronomicon.
Yep.
And then you've probably got a chainsaw.
Crash zooms, some sort of petrol-powered gardening implement that will be used later.
Quite often that thing that, you know, the flying through the woods camera.
Yep, flying cameras, crash zooms, jump scares. I would say sometimes even maybe shotgun.
Well, that's just it. Like, you know, at its best, when, you know, Evil Dead was really kind of rocking and rolling, you know, we got Ash at his fucking stupidest. Like, yeah. You know, this is my boomstick,
yeah.
Groovy, all that good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say Adsky's knowledge of Sam Raimi movies is only Doctor Strange in the Multiverse and Madness.
Wow.
And Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, we go back a few years, everyone was like, wait, Sam Raimi from Evil Dead is making Spider-Man? And everyone was like, really? Okay. Yeah. And it turned out fine.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And if you get to Spider-Man 2, the sequence where they boot up Dr. Octopus and his arms take over and kill everybody in the operating theater.
Yeah.
That shit is straight out of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's Sam Raimi doing what he does best and having a good time doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a fun one. So, you know, with these things of Evil Dead remakes and reboots and stuff and continuations, and because we've had the TV show in between and all these kinds of stuff, you know, I'm starting to go, okay, cool. Evil Dead again. I guess it's a franchise now. We can go and do stuff. And I don't mind that they kind of made it an anthology because it doesn't really matter why the Deadites come. They're just coming.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of it.
So is there some sort of synopsis that we need to talk about, Quinny?
Well, yes, there is. If my computer will stop doing dumb stuff.
No.
Okay. So.
Are we doing dumb stuff? Okay.
Yeah. We do love a bit of dumb stuff. So, okay, what are we doing voice-wise?
Oh, fucking Deadite. Jesus, come on, man.
Sorry. I just thought it was very important that I ask. I needed to have some input from the chat. But at the moment, the chat is basically just Adsky going, did he do the first two? Yes, Sam Raimi did all three Spider-Man films.
Yeah, including the terrible third one.
Which he hated. And
we
you
all
can
hated
tell
it.
Because it's a shit film. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Do we have any creepy music or anything like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. The piano theme from the first Evil Dead is playing currently now or tinkling
Sorry,
along.
My apologies. I can't hear it, so I just have to go by.
Well, it's finished now. I have to fucking play it again. All right, there we go. You weren't fast enough, Quinny.
I'm sorry. Okay.
After the loss of her abusive husband, a woman is forced to seek solace with her in-laws. I'll swallow my words. As one by one, they transform into deadites. She comes to discover that the vows that she took in life survive, even in death, and the sins of the grandfather must be unearthed to save all our souls. Or we'll swallow your soul, or we're coming for you, or my head's going to spin around, or your brother sucks cocks in hell, any of those things. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
All of that stuff. I got to say, actually, it was a high class there, Gritty. Excellent. Well done. No notes.
Thank you.
That was a great dinner.
I just needed a little bit of extra reverb and shit in there, and midway through, my eyes needed to turn into a weird milky kind of thing. And
sure.
And I feel like I need to be able to burst through some kind of floor or door or something.
There's tropes that we need to do. Like you've got to be in the, you've got to be like rapping on the door and then sounding okay for a second until you look at them and like, oh shit,
Yeah, they're not correct.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Evil Dead film? I've never asked you that question.
No, I'm very much with you. I think Army of Darkness is the one.
Yeah.
You know, it's Ash chainsaw hand fighting armies of deadites, and we get, you know, classic moments like the you know the words to close the Necronomicon, don't you? Yeah. Klaatu,
Barada.
Which I almost felt like they were almost referencing in this a couple of times.
Yeah, look, this is a slightly strange one because it had different things and not necessarily the Necronomicon. It was a different book, a different dagger.
And it
felt different. I mean, I'm trying to say, like, you know, went out expecting Evil Dead, and what did I come away with? Kind of like an off-brand Evil Dead.
Yeah, this is kind of the Evil Dead that you get from, I don't know, Aldi.
Aldi. Aldi,
like, it's not all the way to the Evil Dead you got from Wish. Like,
No. It's not what the fuck did Wish deliver me.
No, this is still like, you know, but instead of it being a Mars bar, it's a Mars bar. You know.
Oh, look, a Sorny.
Exactly. It's
like, does it work the same? Kinda.
Yeah, I guess. It does a lot of the same things.
It's tropey as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But there's some of the tropes, perhaps, it's very understood. Like, if I'm watching it, I'm watching that going, yes, that's in there because that's the sort of thing they're going for. Is that in there? That's because that's the sort of thing it's going for. This is, I know when the jump scares are coming, it's telegraphed, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the weird shit where they just keep on frame, I was like, okay. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not sure where the franchise is going and which direction are they heading, because, you know, you got the first one, which was trying to be a real horror movie, and it was moderately successful, but more money can remake it, pretty much made it the same again, and started to introduce a little bit of comedy into it because it was funny. And then the third was straight up comedy.
Yeah.
And then having not seen the other ones, I think they were going back towards more of a straight horror.
Well, I haven't watched the 2013 one. However, Evil Dead Rise very definitely was heading more towards straight horror. Like there was it was playing it a lot more straight. But at the same time, there are moments in it that are funny, but they're kind of like because I was laughing quite a lot in this, but it's because it's so over the top, like the violence is so kind of ridiculous that you can't help but kind of laugh at it a bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, I'm definitely going to say there were no, I'll say this. There were no intended jokes, I feel, in this one. I think it was more of an audience reaction laughing at the thing going, oh, wow, haha, what? Fuck. Okay. Like, that was really horrific, or you really locked into that death or that scene.
Mm.
And people were laughing at it because it was a bit of an uncomfortable laugh. I don't think they were laughing at it because they were like, that was funny. Like, there's a couple of moments.
I don't know. I think, like, there is stuff in there that I think the director intended to be funny. Like, you know, there's stuff at the funeral right at the start where, like, you know, there's people jackhammering outside that, you know.
That just made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I could see that it was going for, okay, this is intended to be,
but unlike, you know, remember in Evil Dead 2 when the cabin, comes alive and all of the animal heads and everything, and it starts like a chanting song, you know, you're there going, oh, kind of scary, not really scary, this is all kind of funny, but all these zombie things are yelling and yelling and yelling, and you're like, okay, and then it stops dead, and you're back to a little bit of the scary. Like, that's an intended laugh. Like, this is a bit crazy and funny.
Yeah. Like, I think there are a couple of times that the Deadites were saying things that were intended to be kind of funny. But yeah. I don't know. Like, the last one, Evil Dead Rise, very definitely wasn't really trying to be funny. It was really kind of going for a much more serious scare kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know. I feel like the balance for Evil Dead films is a very difficult one to get right.
Yeah. And also, you know, when we're thinking about this stuff too, we can't do anything but also acknowledge the Ash versus the Evil Dead television
TV
show.
Series, yeah.
That was a comedy.
Yes, very much so.
Like,
and yeah.
I feel like there's like two paths that have gone now, which is like if you have Bruce Campbell in it, it's the comedy Evil Dead. And if you don't have Bruce Campbell in it, it's more the, no, this is a horror Evil Dead kind of thing.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a tough one to really kind of, you know, explain, because there were a lot of people laughing. But I think you're right. A lot of it was probably uncomfortable laughter of going, oh, Jesus, that's violent.
I felt like also there was a widespread of people watching in this cinema that we did go to, which was lovely, but I do feel like there were definitely some people there going, this is not what I signed up for. Who would be like, I've never seen an Evil Dead film in my life, and then they're watching this, they're like, oh my god, wait,
there's so much blood.
Yes, so much blood. But also I feel like they were comforted by the fact there were some people laughing, and they were like, okay, this allows me the avenue. Am I supposed to be scared about this, because this is kind of terrifying, but also the plot doesn't really make sense. But also, you don't have to do that. This is just an entertainment movie. And also, I'd be fine if every single one of them died.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem but, you with
know,
this.
You have to make sure that there is, you know, the soul survivory kind of thing. But
do you, though?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you know, do you?
Maybe not. I mean, but then, you know, you can't have everybody be a Deadite, because then surely the Deadites will just win and take over the world. But, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what they do.
Oh, eventually. No, and then we get the Evil Dead Army of Darkness.
I slept too far. Remember that one?
Oh, the good ending.
Yeah, the good ending. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, what are we talking about in terms of narrative here? As you said, it is an anthology. We're talking about this one, Evil Dead Burn. It is connected in the fact that it's about Deadites and stuff, but it's not directly connected, as in events of the first remake two films don't really inform this one.
Well, no, though apparently this is intended to be in some way connected to Evil Dead Rise. Right. And funnily enough, Evil Dead Rise and this almost start exactly the same way. So there's there's a sequence in a lake, and like in Evil Dead Rise, it was just incredibly fucking loud.
Right.
This one, it was different, but still kind of similar. There's
as annoying
them coming out of the lake.
As annoyingly loud as Smile 2 was.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, incredibly loud noises, and you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ. So, like, structurally, this has got a bit of that, and apparently there's a post-credits thing that is ties Rise to this. Oh, I don't know.
What, in Rise or in this one?
In this.
I don't know what the hell happened. I don't even remember.
We had left before the post-credits.
Oh.
We were around for a mid-credit one, but it turns out there was a post-credit one as well.
Oh. Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So sorry, everybody. If you want to know what happens in that one, you're going to have to go and watch it yourself if you feel so inclined.
Well, you know.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Given the fact of there's a lot of movies out, there's always a few movies that are out there. It's not a bad popcorn flick. Although I got to say, probably don't want to eat through it.
No.
Just gonna put that out there. It's going to be like, it's not really a film you want to be like, I wasn't particularly interested in eating.
No, I kind of feel like, you know, if you went to this and you went to like, Gold Class or whatever, if they bring you a burger halfway through.
Yeah, you're not going to want to eat it. No. I mean, and this is because, you know, it's a horror movie. Come on, guys. Set in nondescript buttfuck America.
Yes, that feels oddly European, but also entirely like New Zealand.
Yeah. How do we do this? This is, you know, I mean, I get it. It's somewhat interesting. Also, like, I know, I'm just trying
I love
to,
that we're kind of damning it by faint praise.
I know, it's damning it by, like, I mean, one of the things I didn't understand was, like, it opens up, it establishes something. It has, like, a guy, and he owns a nightclub with his wife, and it's a nightclub and a restaurant. And I was like, this is the worst nightclub / restaurant I've ever seen. Also, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Like, apparently.
It's just like a shitty building in the middle of nowhere that people will go to, which is connect like right next to a forest that no one seems to be driving past. Like, I was kind of sitting there, I don't want to go to this club. Like, no wonder this club is failing. I don't want to go there. And then they just move it to a house, and then rest of film happens.
Yeah. You get three locations, basically. Yeah, there's, four. There's large lake at beginning, then nightclub. / restaurant
for like
whatever.
2 minutes of exposition.
Yeah. And then you get a funeral home.
Yeah. For 20 minutes.
Giant pyramid thing.
What? Yeah. A brutalist shit structure.
Yeah. And then the rest of it is in old building.
Oh, you forgot. It was the construction site.
Oh, sorry. I did forget the construction site,
which was kind of attached to that like place. And like there are a lot of logic gaps in this, but you're not going into an Evil Dead film because you're expecting them to have thought everything out. You're going in to see what the deadites are doing.
Yes. And are they going to be funny? Are they going to, what crazy shit are they going to do that's going to be super violent, but also maybe
how
scary?
How will they swallow your soul?
Yes.
Will you end up dead by dawn?
Mm. And I mean, we got at least one of those in there, didn't we? I think there was at least one Dead by Dawn.
Oh, yeah, there was a Dead by Dawn. I don't think there was a Swallow Your Soul one.
No.
But also, you know, I love how they play around with the abilities of a deadite in every film that they always go. It's like, can they get inside? Can they not get inside? You know, how do you do this? Can the forest be possessed?
Well, these are the things that I remember back to, you know, Evil Dead 2, where like, there's this sort of kind of feeling that anything goes with an Evil Dead film. Like, you know, maybe the forest will come alive and give you a horrible time. Maybe the animals on the wall will come alive and give you a horrible time. Yeah. Maybe your own hand will come alive and give you a horrible time.
It's about the a little bit of the ridiculousness of the, the ridiculousness of the idea. Like, what could be a deadite? How does it get possessed? is it all in your mind? Are you just going crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how do you do that? And, you know, I was looking forward to it, you know, and I got some of the Raimi tropes, you know, like a very, I can't say it's not copying. It's just heavily nodding and going, huh? See what we did there?
Because that thing.
That's kind of like what Sam Raimi would do, right?
Mm.
You know, and you're like, no, because Sam didn't have access to drones, and that kind of shot isn't making sense in this. Just grab a camera and run it across the ground as fast as you can, and then fix it in post, which is exactly what they did, you know.
I still love watching some of the behind the scenes on those early ones. It's just like we just nailed a camera to a board and then ran on either side of it through the woods.
Yep. To make
great,
it work.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And because it worked, because it was the malevolent spirit, the chaos of it matched the character it was trying to frame. Like there's ways that the reason the Sam, the Evil Dead franchise exists is because it has fun rules, which came about through necessity, which because they were doing it rather cheaply, but they were committed to a vision. And that was good. In this one, I feel like I'm making a franchise movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like it dropped some. And also, as I said earlier, I don't give a shit about anyone in this movie.
Oh, you fuck no.
You got to make me care. The only character I gave a shit about was the dog.
Yeah. And I think that's perhaps like my biggest problem with it is that, at least in like Rise, I was vaguely invested in the lead character. You know, I wanted to see them get away or at least survive or whatever. In this, I was kind of like, not even a particularly nice person.
Yeah, like I mean, you know, it's fine. It's just that I didn't really care. Well, I was trying to care, but I feel like I got caught up in a situation where I was like, which one should I give a shit about here? Do I give a shit about this kid who feels like he's being bullied by his family? Is that the character I got to follow? Or am I supposed to give a shit about this woman who was married to an abusive husband who's doing it? And then the rest of the film doesn't answer that narrative.
No.
And,
actually,
yeah,
Trav made a good point about that, and I agree with him. It feels a little bit like there were two scripts here. And there's one that was like this story about, you know, an abused wife and trying to get out of a shit family and stuff. And then there was the whole kind of deadites and finding the dagger and all that kind of stuff. And one of them takes over for a really long time. And you then kind of forget the whole abuse and the husband being abusive thing until... They kind of bring him back at one point, and you're like, oh, fuck, are you still in this film? Right.
Yeah. They just kind of parked him for a while, and it was like, I don't know where he is. It's like, I know where he is. I know where the fuck he is too, but I just don't understand why you've parked him for that long.
Yeah. Like and then for him to come back at the time that he does, it's meant to be a lot more impressive than it is, and it's not.
It's not. It's kind of boring. Mm. It's
yeah,
like, it's like I got more scared by a Terminator than I would from this guy.
Yeah, and he didn't feel like a deadite. Like all of the others have that traditional deadite kind of thing.
He didn't have the mania of the deadite. Like
no,
there's a certain amount of crazy and gross and hilarious.
Yeah, you know? and like you know they seem to enjoy jumping out of things and scaring you and then beating the piss out of you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is that's part of their thing.
I think that was a really good opportunity that was created, and it gave us the wonderful idea of a deadite, that it is much like many demons. They are kind of like imps as well. Like they're there to mess with you and do stuff, and they don't really care because it's kind of like a fun vacation for them rather than the idea that they're like a superpowered, malevolent kind of thing. They just kind of are going along with it.
Yeah, they're here to fuck shit up. They're here to cause chaos and to upset you in whatever way they can. If they're going to say something to you, it's intended to make you fucking feel bad or question your sanity or something.
Yeah.
They're just fucking sowing chaos.
And also, you know, the murder. You know, like this is the thing. They're really out to murder, and that was the fun bit. So in this one, it didn't really feel like there was much of a threat. They did a lot of weird and horrible stuff. Like I'm going to say, if you're into gore or just interesting ideas that come out of it and then leaning into those ideas. This film is very much focused on that. It's like, yeah, I'm going to come up with an idea. So what would be a gruesome slash awful thing? Okay, we could do this. It's like, all right, sure, that sounds... So let's just lean fully into it. So they committed to the bit.
Yep. Yep.
I really appreciated that. It was great.
Yeah.
And like some of the supporting characters, I thought did a great job of being deadites or acting, doing the things, because I understood all their character motivations. It's just the ones I was following that you're supposed to be rooting for. I was like, I don't give a shit about any of the, like, you should have left ages ago.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Like there's, it's interesting because I think structurally the film suffers a little bit from, it suffers a lot from doing this thing where it's like, okay, we need to get to the deadites and we want to get to the evil deady bitness as quickly as possible. But once we've hit that point, then it's got nowhere else to go. Yeah. Like you sort of hit a point where it's, you know, there's demons and they're running around and stuff like that. But suddenly there's just no shape to it. Like, you know, suddenly there's just deadites everywhere and we don't even get moments of quiet or anything like that. It starts to really kind of just hit a single level. And I was like, no, no, no. We're like, you've got to have a bit of fucking a break here and there. You've got to start slow, build up. But, you know, pretty fucking quickly, you know, this guy's a deadite and that person's a deadite. And you're like, okay, Jesus, righto.
Everything's a deadite.
Yeah.
You know, if you go have everything's a deadite, also, you know, this film, I have to say, I don't know if it's great or terrifying, but everything is a Chekhov. Fucking Chekhov's gun, Chekhov's corkscrew, Chekhov's dishwasher, Chekhov, fucking, like, everything is out there. Like,
yeah, Chekhov's petrol-powered garden implement.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, like if at any point you see something on the screen in the film that is going to be used to injure or hurt or do something to somebody, it's not like anything comes as a surprise.
No, like, and they're all pretty fucking heavy-handed. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can see them coming a mile off.
I think the only one that I thought about that where I was like, okay, I didn't actually see that would happen, was the amputation.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And even that wasn't, like, that wasn't really horrific. It was just kind of like, oh, no, that makes sense. That's what that character would do. But, you know, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Everything else, I was like, oh, so they're going to get injured here, or this is going to kill this character. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, it's like, yep, there we go. Or, you know, oh, that looks dangerous. Definitely going to hit some character with that one. Yep, they do.
Yeah, that one's going to come back. Yeah, I mean, at one point, I don't know, it was you who whispered or something. It was like, you know, oh, it's fucking Chekhov's washing machine or dishwasher. Yep. And then somebody's like, it's Chekhov's Costco.
Yeah, that's what I was like, yes, it's like going to Costco. It's just Chekhov's Costco. Everything you see here will be important to the plot later on.
Yes, or at the very least, be used in some kind of bloody fucking murder.
There were no red herrings.
There were no red herrings.
There were no red herrings. That's what I say. Everything that you saw was referenced.
Yeah.
Through all,
and there was nothing that made you think, go, oh, maybe we're going to do this. No, we didn't do that, did we?
No.
No, it just did everything.
They just did everything.
Yeah. And that's kind of my problem with it, is that it just kind of does everything. It just throws everything at the wall.
Yeah. And at some points I was sort of sitting there going, I don't also understand the power of some of these deadites. At one point they're absolutely useless and happy to walk around a monologue at a character or do something freaky, which is one of the scenes I remember where she ends up on the roof. You can go and look it up. It's like it's a clip you can go and see where they run into one. She's trying to set the place on fire, kind of, and then she disappears by being on the roof, and you're kind of like, okay. And there's other times where it will crawl and be amazing and jump over things and do that, and earlier it's like standing in front of them going, I'm just doing nothing, like, I should just rip your head off right now, but no,
I'm gonna monologue a little bit. There was also, like, in the middle of it, there is a really great one-er. There's a point, and this is where it's absolutely just shit going every which way. there is a very, very impressive single shot that goes for quite a long time while violence is happening all around this lead character. And there's a few moments in that that I was like, okay, I was pleasantly surprised by that. There's, you know, things flying around and shit that I was like, well, fucking hell, righto.
Yeah, there was a great scene, you know, kind of like a bit of a knockdown, drag out fight stuff. And it was a good long take. Like, it was an interesting one.
Yeah.
It's just that I knew what was going to happen because it was so foreshadowed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was so much foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And yeah, the big problem is that you just don't really give enough of a shit about any of the characters to actually be invested beyond.
Yeah.
Like, if you like going and watching a lot of bloody gore and stuff that'll make you kind of feel a bit squeamish, that's what this film's for.
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, it leans into it. It commits to the bit. It's doing its thing. I was enjoying it, like, you know, but like as soon as, you know, there's a couple of characters that, I mean, as soon as they kind of left or weren't running around anymore, I'm like, well, that was a bit dull. That character was good. Now they're gone. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Can we
have them back? No. Okay.
Yeah, now we're going to get someone else who's average.
Yeah. And there are a few things that, like, characters that had been set up that were kind of interesting. You thought, oh, okay, maybe there's something there. Maybe they're going to play on something more interesting with this character, you know? And then they didn't. It's just like, oh, no, they're just a deadite. Okay, cool,
There's a thing I want to, like, ask about in the spoilery sort of section about that. So remind me to come back to some of the logic weirdness about how do you deadite or undeadite people? You know, because the deadites in this one either seem to be able to infect people with it by just being in the room, and then other times it's like, oh, no, you've got to die first and then you can come back.
Yeah, and maybe you can just be slowly turned into one. Maybe not. I don't know. The logic of what, you know, the Deadites and Evil Dead are capable of has always been pretty fucking Gumby.
Sure. You know? But I mean, if you're doing it with comedy.
Yeah.
Which is why you get, you know, 1001 Ashes. You know.
Little Goody Two-Shoes.
Yeah, Little Goody Two-Shoes. Singing a little gremlin song that's, like, weird. That's intentional comedy. Like, that's trying to be funny.
Yeah.
In this one, you're like, are you the same? Are you just, like, could you turn yourself into 100 little versions of yourself and run around this house? You could.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Yeah, and there's lots of stuff about the book and all that kind of stuff. And I can tell that they're trying to build a broader mythology connection there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, there's the book and then there's this circle of wise men or something like that. And you're like, cool. I mean, if you're building it, you're doing it very slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's fine. Do we want to do a rating or do we want to do a clip?
Let's rate it and we can move on to spoilery territory and so on and stuff.
Very quickly here. I don't know. Like, it comes out tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, Thursday. By the time that they're hearing this, the podcast, it'll be out.
I had a pretty good time with it. Like, I knew what I was going when I was getting into it. It was just like, it's fine. I'll throw you know, some Tight Ass Tuesday. I think it's a perfect Tight Ass Tuesday. Don't know what to do. Gonna go watch this. Good. It might make sense in more things, but again, it's just kind of a bit of a fun one. But I can't rush out. I'm gonna go maybe 60. I mean, you know, but I looked at this and I'm like, oh, cool. Everything got a few more technology and a few more new interesting kind of ideas in there, but the other ones are still, because I got them better. I was sort of waiting a little bit going, well, all right.
Yeah. It's funny, like 60 is a pretty good number actually, because like this also has an interesting kind of thing that it also felt a little more derivative or something. This is a very French film. This is a super European film where, like, you've got a lead character who speaks French a lot of the film. But then, you know, all the deadites look to have been European actors. It doesn't feel like a traditional American kind of flick, but at the same time has all of the trappings of an American horror flick.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little bit weird. I'm very much with you there, man. I'm like, I found myself having fun and, you know, chowing away at a bit of popcorn, but there was nothing like, I remember more from Evil Dead Rise from, you know, 3 years ago. And there were more moments in that to me felt like it felt more like an Evil Dead film. This one definitely feels like somebody almost making an Evil Dead homage, but it just didn't quite work for me. So yeah, for me, I'm going to go 65. You know, I don't know whether it was, that's just how I feel.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Looking at the question, would you say it's on the higher end of a B grade horror movie scale? It's B grade. Like,
so I give it like a B minus.
Yeah. Like it's, yeah. We've watched some really interesting horror stuff lately. Like, you know, I look at this and I look at Smile too. And, you know, I feel like Smile was doing probably more interesting things.
Sure. I mean, I look at like Zach Cregger's Barbarian.
And I was going to say Barbarian or Weapons.
Yeah, Weapons. You know, it's just more interesting. This one is
even
like
Obsession.
Yeah.
You know,
Obsession is kind of horrific. It's the same kind of gore level.
Yeah.
You know, that you're getting into, but this is like, this is clean. Like this had obviously had the budget to be able to say, we're going to do this. It's kind of, it's especially if FX heavy and we're really going to lean into it. I loved that I could see everything that was going on and that they were committed to it. Like that's the thing that was good. Oh, you've done something. You're not trying to hide anything. You're not kind of worried about the effects. You're not worried about how it's going to represent on screen. It's represented exactly how it kind of is going.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that was good. Like it's good in that way.
But the gore is highly effective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very, very gooey and it's very like believable.
Yeah.
And effective violence and gore.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, fuck, great. More power to you.
Yeah. It's just, unfortunately for me, I just needed to give a shit. Because if you're getting chased down by the big bad at the end, you need to root for the person running away. And this
also
time I
perhaps
was like,
have some kind of feeling about the big bad too, because
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, well, he's just a CGI thing.
Cool. Anyway, let's go to a little clip, which is actually kind of one of the freakier bits in there where there was a few nervous laughs, but also it was a little like, oh no.
I need you to drink this, please. Can you look under the bed? Daddy always checks to make sure there aren't any monsters.
Don't worry. You're safe here.
Good night, Mom. Good night, Susan.
Right amount of creepy.
Yeah, that one was a right amount of creep. That was fun.
Is our spoiler logo up?
Yeah, it has been up the whole time. Because remember, we're doing it with the spoiler. Look, Quinn.
Tell me about your things that the undeadites or whatever.
I don't appreciate that they basically like set up a character at the start to be kind of the ringleader, the big bad, and then for an inexplicable reason decided to just withhold that character until the very kind of final end battle, because and not have them anywhere at all, which was so dumb, because it was like, you literally, you established it quite well, because you're like, oh, the funeral home is only a 5-minute drive down the road, basically, from this house that used to be a nice house that people would want to go to, but has been left to go into disrepair. But you're also like, how did they let this go into disrepair? Because it was given to a guy who was living there, right? Like,
He's a writer, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's got a pen.
He'd been hanging out there. He'd been going through his grandpa's stuff. He just decided to not give a shit. Like, I would be so angry too.
Yeah.
And then based on that, though, you've got the big bad, which is kind of just down the road, just spends the entire film, I don't know, walking. You know those monks that walk and they put like 1 foot the heel to the toe and they just make their way very slowly around places and people are nice to them? That's what this thing felt like. It's like, did you walk here the slowest way possible?
Yeah. Meanwhile, other characters will show up super fast and, you know, are capable of moving incredibly fast. Or was he just there hanging out in the background? And like, he's the thing that's meant to be the highly affecting thing for the lead character.
Yeah.
So our lead character, who, you know, is effective enough. She does a pretty good job. It's Soheila Yacoub, who plays Alice. She's been abused by her husband. And, you know, there's this whole thing with him being an abusive piece of shit. And they work together in a restaurant and everything. So that should be the big emotional point to hang your hat on. But the husband, who's the first to die and also the first of the deadites to do anything, disappears for the whole fucking film. It is just kind of weird. And I had a problem with elements of it too. Like, so the grandmother, so who we just saw, you know, that's the first time that she has done anything kind of deadite-ish.
Yeah.
And like you almost get the feeling that the deadites are like, I don't know that I can actually fuck with you because there's no mind in there for me to mess with.
Yeah. It's a strange thing where it's like, we don't understand how the deadites work. And that's okay, because sometimes you need that. It's magic. Yeah. It's bullshit. In this one, it's like, can they infect people without doing that? Does it just take a touch?
Yeah.
Can they
just look at them?
Yeah. Can someone just get someone who's vulnerable? If that were the case, you know, it's also, there's other things like they're looking for something. They're given the opportunity to basically possess someone who knows that information. And they've shown that they have possessed other people who have information. So they retain information once they're turned. Why don't you just possess the guy with the information?
Well, and they do possess the guy that should have the information, and then they, like, doesn't do anything.
No, doesn't do anything. And the conceit that I found was, one, like, you know, basically, a long story short, just to help people, it's the spoiler territory now.
We're all in spoiler territory. Here is some real plot.
Just some real plot. It all comes down to finding a dagger that they very specifically said it just takes a scratch to banish the demon back to hell. And then she proceeds to not do the interesting storyline thing of just like, I could just banish them back. Like, if they come near me, I could just scratch them. And the person who was being possessed would technically turn back into a human.
Mm.
So why didn't you not do that?
Yeah, because running and screaming had to happen, and you have to have things where, you know, the person gets injured in horrible ways.
You literally know how effective it is to use that dagger on the deadites because they turn back human and then they die because you stab them in the face instead of scratching them. And then you're afraid of the rest of the deadites that are hanging around. It's like, why would you be afraid? I'd be like, I got my boomstick. Ha ha. Yeah, come at me,
exactly.
Bro. I'm going to catch you. Yep. And I'm just going to like give you a little scratch with this knife and then you will magically go back to hell.
And then we're all fine.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Like the I know that you shouldn't get caught up on the rules in a movie like this.
Yeah.
But then I also, there's a thing where she starts reading out words, like, and she's, you know, reading out the words out of the book, and there are four distinct words that we've seen a deadite say earlier on in the film, and you're like, okay. And she gets stopped before she reads the fourth one. And I was like, so what happened there? Is it, you know, if she reads the, if she says the fourth one, does it stop this possession or does it make it worse?
I mean, this is also the thing. So it literally set up that thing. You know, you read these four words and it will summon the dead. And I was sitting there and she's starting to read them. And I'm like, bitch, they're already summoned.
Yeah. Like, so
they came right out of the water at the start, and then,
which we assume is because somebody played the tapes of something, maybe? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, for some reason, it's like the deadites are already there. They're just in a lake, and no one had to summon them. They didn't have to do any weird shit at all. And then she's like, oh, you could read these out. And then, because, like, at least in the original Evil Dead ones, you had to speak the words of the Necronomicon. And just the idea, and which is why it was interesting, because the first time that they came out, because someone read from the book, but he made a recording. So they fucked up by playing the fucking recording, which summoned them again. And this made sense.
Yeah, there is an internal logic, whereas in this one, it's kind of like, okay, well, so like the opening sequence with the, which is in a lake, and it's this, you know, deadite woman who just appears out of the lake. But is that slightly preceded by something of them playing a tape? I can't remember.
No, they're just going fishing.
Right.
And they're catching what look like crayfish in like an internal lake. So it's like freshwater crayfish. I mean, sure, that's a thing, but I don't know. And they all have fish hooks, and then the water boiled, and then someone walked out, and then they just decided to sacrifice themselves to create another deadite. And
you know, we're gonna kill ourselves so that we can knock the guy off the road, but then,
like, 40 minutes into it, that's when she started reading the fucking the words on the pack. And I love that it was just scraps of paper, so there was no particular order. She just picked up a piece of paper and read it out, and I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah, nobody, don't ever pick up. Here's a safety tip for all of our listeners. Don't pick up random books that look like they may or may not have been bound in skin and just read random words from them. It's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, and they didn't even reference the Necronomicon, because that wasn't the Necronomicon. It was a different kind of book. And then there's the Secret Society, and then there's other stuff. And I mean, it's kind of tangentially linked, but also not in a strong enough way that made you go, this is connected. Someone is thinking about it. They're just like, no, we've got a bunch of cool horror ideas and we want to make it happen.
And those cool horror ideas, yes, Adsky, I can't tell you what to do. I'm not your dad. But those cool horror ideas, you know, in a lot of cases, like, there's a lot of stuff that made people kind of squeamish, and you could hear the crowd reacting. Like, there's a point where somebody loses some fingers quite early on, and the whole crowd was like, oh,
yeah,
you know,
that's good, because it was slightly unexpected.
Yeah. And, like, you know, there's a few really good stabby bits and stuff like that. You're like, wow, fucking righto. And then you've kind of hit that point and it just stays there. Like, there's a lot less creative kills and stuff. And a lot of it is just kind of, here's a setup and now here's a punchline. And here's your Chekhov's insert item here, and he's inserting item in here. There's a lot of that kind of thing all the way through. I do think Evil Dead Rise was a more successful film.
More successful and more enjoyable for you to watch?
I think, I say successful, I mean enjoyable, better made. Like, just had a little bit more style about it. This felt a bit, just a bit cheap. I don't know, it's not.
I mean, hey, I liked it because it gave a lot of Australian New Zealand people a job, and they're going to get another one, which is great. And I think it's a testament to be able to see a bit of this going. But you've got to see what's being made out there. You've got to see what the horror environment is. And although you've got the brand recognition and the name of these things, you have to deliver something perhaps that expands that and makes it interesting. Because at the moment it felt a little, like, while polished, like, I got to say, it's a polished film. At no point was I watching it going, this is terrible CGI. This effect was shit. No, it's all quite good actually. You know, but the attention to detail about the reasonings and why can sometimes get lost in this. And
yeah,
I didn't feel there was a connection at any time for those characters where I was like, I want that character to live, you know? Yeah, I wanted Ash to live because he made a fucking chainsaw thing.
He was cool. Like, he was goofy, but he was cool.
In this, I don't think anyone's cool.
No.
Which is a bit of a shame because you kind of want someone cool.
Yeah, and it is interesting because, like, this is now part of essentially a trilogy, like, of which supposedly are kind of tied together. Like, Evil Dead Rise, Evil Dead Burn, and now in 2028 there's going to be Evil Dead Wrath, which has literally just finished filming in New Zealand. So they're back in New Zealand again.
Yeah.
And there is meant to be some kind of connection with it. As we've said before, there is a post-credits sequence that supposedly ties back in with Rise. And I don't know whether any of these have anything to do with Evil Dead from 2013. Like, you know, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, we don't have to worry. You know what, Austin? Don't worry about it.
And that goes for you too.
And that goes for you too. Yeah, we don't have to worry too much about it. But also, I don't know if you're going into it like looking at it from a fan of the earlier franchise or looking for something, I'm not sure you're going to find it as a thing of like, hey, you could watch some pretty okay horror. Like, you know, you could watch it on, put it on Halloween. If you have a Halloween party, just have it playing.
Yeah.
You know, fine.
Yeah. And there's some great, gross, gooey shit in there that like you and your friends will all be sitting around there going, oh, God. Yeah.
No, it was fine. And some people asked earlier, it was like, what did Jill and Peter say? It's like, A, Peter is never seeing.
No, Peter is never going to go to something like this.
And Jill would have loved to, but she's not being able to be here. She couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, so, yeah, she couldn't be here tonight, and we only got a double pass, so
I'm not sure she's going to love it, I got to say, with Jillaroo. I'll be like, I'm not sure you'll love it. You'll love a couple of bits of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Jill has a pretty good taste for horror.
Yeah.
Like, and I think this is a gore. I don't think of this as being like a proper thrillery kind of horror kind of stuff. You know,
it's very, a gore.
Like, there are a few times that I jumped a little bit, but that's because a loud thing happened in front of my face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just human nature.
And that wonderful thing where you're watching it and you're just like, yes, this is, as I said, we said, it's Chekhov's movie. Everything is a gun. Everything is telegraphed. You know, you know what's happening. You get it and you understand it. And sometimes, like, it's still delivered well, which is what I'll say in defense, because it's not like it's like, oh, you'll be able to tell exactly what's happening. It's like, no. They'll do it, and then they'll go through it with a certain way, and you'll be like, okay, that was a good payoff, but I also knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not as freaky as you kind of think it is.
Yeah.
Also, I got to really worry about, like, if there's one scene that fucked me off, Quinny, was Chekhov's dishwasher, where a bunch of knives and stuff are placed up in the dishwasher, which is a pet fucking hate of mine, is if you load your fucking dishwasher and you put sharp, pointy things facing up, or a dryer or anything, I will probably, you know, if it's at my house, I'll just make you move them. But if I go to someone else's, I'll move them around, be like, no, I don't want to stab myself today. The Deadite was standing on that guy's chest and forcing these things into his back. And then he just sort of gets up with no fucking reference to it. Like,
and dude, no pulling them out, none of that or anything like that.
None of that freaky thing of trying to pull stuff out gingerly by, I've got all this fucking porcupine in my back.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's a lot of stuff that is stabbed into various different places. Like, there's some, you know, interesting gunshot stuff happens there for a while.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess one of the main Deadites who shows up is the dad. And
yeah,
I don't know. Like, the moment that dude appeared on screen, I was like, oh, yeah, well, he's going to be dead soon.
I like him.
He looks weird anyway.
He had a slow, malevolent turn into a Deadite, and I really kind of got that because I was like, actually, yeah, that's great. That matches the character. He was a dick already. He had problems. He just becomes a complete ass. The one that the turn or the thing that I didn't like in it was the mother.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was just a decision-making process of like, really? No. Yep.
We need the mother to go crazy now. So now the mother is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So the mother has gone nuts.
And also, she's now a deadite. Yeah. Why? Because.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then is she though? Because she doesn't. She still seems to give a shit about her family. And it's just like, ugh.
And at some point in time, her eyes change, and you're like, okay, well now she's obviously a deadite. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like Evil Dead Rise had some moments in it where like there's the main deadite woman out of that film is spectacularly creepy. Like, you know, there's a particular kind of creeping grin thing that she does that I was like, oh yeah, that's super effective, really creepy, does a great job. Didn't feel that here. Like there really wasn't that one image. And I gotta tell you, like this is just a fucking dumb thing, but the marketing for this is so lackluster. Like there is literally two posters and they both use one piece of key art just flipped. There's no visual language at you know here, and the whole thing about burning's kind of boring. It's fine. It is exactly the kind of film that we have rated about 60.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
Like, go and watch Ash versus Evil Dead again. Have a much more fun time.
Maybe. Or, you know, like if you got some time to kill, maybe if it's raining and it's cold, yeah, go watch Evil Dead. It's fun.
It's not fine.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. You
know, it's that or Minions, I don't know. Some people have been telling me I should be watching the Minions and Monsters movie, and I'm like, no, I've had enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but the Minions never quite got me. I like, what were they? Fucking
Despicable Me.
Yeah, I was about to say Bespoke Me.
Don't you love it when you hire Steve Carell and you make this movie and you back everything into Steve Carell, and then it turns out that the Minions, which can be replicated by anyone doing a slightly weird voice, have got their own franchise and whole thing, and you're like, excellent. Now we don't have to pay Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And then they lean into that.
Oh. Yeah. Adsky saying Minions is surprisingly the most fun movie I've watched out of all of the recent blockbusters. I say wash your mouth out and go and watch He-Man again.
Well, you know, a broken clock still tells the right time twice a day.
Twice a day. Yeah, and I mean, what I do find interesting, I had this conversation with some people at work today. This summer period has been a bit lackluster. Like a lot of the films have underperformed.
Which is very interesting, because it's not the films have underperformed or people aren't going to see films.
No,
it's that the ones that they thought were going to make money, or that they kind of backed in about making money, haven't been the ones that have made money.
Yeah.
And that's what's freaking them out. And I mean, I understand what's happening in July. You know, everyone shied away because Christopher Nolan said, hey, I'm going to do The Odyssey. And everyone went, fuck, I'm not going up against Christopher Nolan. The same kind of way that everyone was like, you know, with James Cameron. It's like, oh, we can't release a movie on Christmas Day.
Yeah, don't want to go anywhere near Avatar.
Don't want to go near Avatar. And you're like, no, please, please give us something else to watch.
Yeah, it's called counter-programming. And it's really fucking important, because we've seen Avatar, or we've decided we're not going to see Avatar, we'd like to have something else to fucking watch.
I'd like, actually, that it'd been a really interesting one. I want to go back and have a look at what came out as the Boxing Day Christmas movie when Lord of the Rings came out. Because I guarantee you there would have been something out there that everyone would have been like, no, this is going to be the Boxing Day movie of everything. And then Lord of the Rings came out and everyone's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was way more fun than whatever we were supposed to go and watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is how that kind of goes.
I love it. Karina's just like, I've been watching Project Hail Mary. Like, How many times have you seen that now, Karina? We'll wait for the chat to keep up, but I'm pretty sure that's got to be at least in the tens, maybe 12, 13.
That's fine. I support people's, you know, wishes to do that. That's good. You know, if you've got a comfort movie, that's okay. Get into it.
Yeah. But then I've watched 12 times in the cinema and once on streaming, but there you go.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was great. Yeah, look, I having that conversation, I was talking about things like Obsession and Backrooms and those movies that were on a budget of nine-tenths of fuck all. They're the ones that were the thing that I'm always worrying that studios are going to take away the wrong lesson. And the right lesson, I think, is tell an interesting story, do it well. And then it doesn't really matter what your budget is. People will show up to it.
Yeah.
You know, and in that case, it was whatever Obsession cost to make that then made $450 million or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, great. That's cool. But yeah, I don't know. This one, obviously nowhere near that kind of bank. I don't think this is good. I don't think Evil Dead Burn is going to do huge numbers.
No. And unfortunately, like, I mean, I still think the franchise has legs.
Yeah.
Not a pun. That's an in-joke. Go see the film. Yeah. But look, you know, and then in order for me to get into the next one, like I think I've been told I should go back and watch Rise. Fine. I'll go back and watch Rise. But the next one, Evil Dead Wrath, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, let's see how this one goes. And then it's a prequel to the 2013 one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, apparently. And I'm like, okay. Is that going to be more of that secret society? I don't know. Is this how you're going to tie them all together? Maybe. But unless, you know, apart from the Deadites, one of the things that made the Evil Dead franchise great was a true character. You know, you've got Ash. He's in the films. That allowed you to empathize and follow that character and go along with them for that journey. In this one, I'm still going, so am I supposed to be following a Deadite? And we don't, you know, they don't have names.
Are Deadites now the main characters?
Yeah. Which could be fun, because Deadites can be fun.
Yeah, I mean, they can be, and they are kind of entertaining with their shenanigans. But
yeah, it could get so interesting if we were to make films following Deadites. But yeah,
it's funny. I now have a feeling I may want to go back and watch the 2013 one because I've realized I've never seen it.
Maybe you didn't see it either. But I knew what I was talking about. It had the same font on the poster, so I knew what I was getting into.
But it was directed by Fede Alvarez, who just did Alien, Romulus.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was another one of those films that was quite good, apart from a couple of little bits.
And Lee Cronin did another one of them.
Yeah, and he was credited in this one, I noticed, as executive producer and stuff.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, this is also a good way. Look, I like also one of the things about this new Evil Dead franchise that is interesting and fun is they're giving new directors a go. They're turning them through. They're getting them out. And this is also important. Like, people need to understand that, yes, sometimes maybe the movie's not fucking great, but it does help people to continue on and go. So support it if you can.
Go yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, if you're out there expecting, it's going to be great, it's like, it's fine.
It's fine. That's definitely one of those definitions of a film that is, it's fine.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of faint praise, I know.
But now it's good, though. It's also good because it has made me also go, shit, I should go back and watch the other one.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing to know. Oh, okay, maybe we do need to embrace all of them.
Yeah.
Karina in the chat is talking about Iron Lung, which is a film that I have been meaning to sit down and watch. It's the Markiplier thing, so, you know, guy who's very big on YouTube, who's made his own feature film and financed it all himself, basically using his crazy-ass YouTube money.
Hey, I will watch it eventually. I mean, you know, there's always a problem when you get like a vanity project of someone who's like, I'm going to make my own movie and I'm going to put all the money into that. Like, oh, shit. And that didn't work. And I was like, hey, it's led to ruin, but sometimes it leads to gold.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if it's made even, you know, most of its money back, he's going to be fine. He's still making money off YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's interesting. And I'd like to see more, you know, young directors getting in and doing creative, interesting shit. They're like, we've got a generation of the most cinematically literate people and the most technologically literate creators, you know, people who have been making shit on YouTube or Twitch or TikTok or whatever for literally a decade or more now. And we should be producing the most interesting fucking films, but yet we're still kind of going, Spielberg, please bring forth your wisdom upon us.
Disclosure Day still gets made somehow.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, give me something interesting. Give me a fucking.
I'm a big fan of the, okay, take your $250 million that you're going to make this one film and make 10, $25 million films.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, some people say some interesting shit that they've, you know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're going to like get a good one out of there somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's like the thing of making, you know, the Japanese thing of making pots, you know. Yeah. Instead of spending all your time trying to make one perfect pot, just make a fucking 100 pots.
Yeah.
You know, you'll fuck up about 20 of them. Then you'll have 30 of them that are pretty fucking good. Then you'll have another 50 that are almost perfect and 5 or 10 that are fucking spot on perfect.
Sure.
You know, that's the theory. Trying to just make one perfect thing is never going to lead to greatness.
Unlike the thing we're reviewing next week, Quinny.
What are we reviewing next week? Because we're looking.
You're going to have to get onto Widow's Bay.
Oh, yes. I have started watching some of that.
Yes, you're going to have to get onto that one. And you better hurry up and keep watching, because then we're going on a break for a week and then we're coming back.
Yeah, so to explain that one, we know that is the week that the Odyssey comes out. So our alternative programming is to fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. Our alternative programming is to not be part of that corporate bullshit system. No, we definitely like to do the Odyssey. That would be fun. That'd be great.
Yes.
But the timing of stuff that is happening is not working out for anyone. So we're not going to do one that week. Yeah. Basically, it's like, can we do the show that week? It's like, not without a massive pain in the ass for like half the team.
Yeah. Yeah, like it is just basically an impossibility. So we're going to put a pin in that one and come back, and we'll probably give you whatever opinions we have of the Odyssey if we've seen it.
We could review. We could turn around and review it the week after. We don't know. We can change whatever we want. That's why you have to keep an eye on the schedule, which means you have to, you know, follow the Facebook, get onto
you need to get involved.
Things, you know, send us an email, join this chat, tell your friends.
Yes.
Smooth.
I did have a moment today at work where somebody's like, I hear that you do a podcast. And I was like, oh, wow, yes. Yes, I do.
It's not like it's been on the door to the office for the last few years.
I mean, admittedly, it is just the logo. It doesn't actually say the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast.
Yeah, but it's got a QR code, Quinny.
Yeah, I know. So,
shut up. All right.
What else are you watching at the moment? Are you watching anything on TV?
I'm not.
No?
Nah.
What are you doing, Dion?
Nah. Not doing it. Not. They got enough of my money. They don't need any help. Yes. I'll admit it here in a public fucking forum. Quinny, you told me and you've been trying subtly and then not so subtly for 6 months to get me into reading a book series. Because you tried to give me avenues going, hey, it's a good book. You should read it. It's also audiobooks. Really good to listen to. You do all this sort of stuff.
We'll give you the audiobook. We'll give you a thing so you can listen to the whole audiobook. Here, we'll give you the first one.
But ultimately, I blame Jill. Because before we went to Supergirl, we caught up and like had dinner just before Supergirl. And she just slid the first book across the table to me going, read this. And I'm like, fuck, I can't even get away from it now because I'm literally standing there. I have to take the book. Yes, I'm reading Dungeon Crawler Carl. It's consuming my life.
Yay!
Like, literally,
I'm
Supergirl.
So happy.
How long ago was that? Fucking, when was Supergirl? Like 2 weeks ago?
Well, something like that, yeah.
Or less. I can't remember what day. Anyway, I'm on book fucking 5. Like, it's not been long and I have just been crushing through Dungeon Crawler Carl, and I won't listen to it until I finish the books, and then I'll go back and listen to the book, so I won't be jaded with how stuff goes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Which is good.
I'm just annoyed because I'm having a good time, so get fucked.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just so happy for me, who I now, yes, Quinny banging on about fucking Dungeon Crawler Carl. It is, look, there are, like, the one of the admin people at work today came up to me at lunch and was just like, I've just finished book two. I was like, glurp, glurp, motherfucker.
And I mean, you know, now it's just fucking annoying. Although it's quite good because now I'm hunting down Jill. Like, I'm hunting Jill. She is the crawler who was ahead of me, and she is just, she's, what did she say? She's halfway through book five.
Five, yeah.
But I have been running so hard behind. I'm like, well, Jill, fucking hurry up.
Yeah, it is very impressive. Like, I realized that I started this, and to get through the first seven books or whatever, it took me 6.5 months.
Yeah,
like I was doing the audiobooks like one a month ish,
yeah,
occasionally two. You have gone through four books in like a week and a half.
Yeah,
it's fucking insane. Like, you are smashing the back out of this.
I do know how to read.
And Tari says, it's everywhere. I need to investigate what it's about. Yes.
There is no explanation that I can give that doesn't make anyone sound like an insane hobo.
Yeah, yeah.
But just go, like, with it.
Just pick it up. Give it a go. I would say I like the audiobooks, but at the same time, I think the actual physical books obviously give an enjoyable experience too.
I'm having a great time reading the books. Like, yeah, you know, and yes, I will say that thing. I was like, fine, Jill. And I started reading and I was like, okay. All right. Wait, fuck. This is going to be a problem. And then it just snowballed from there.
Yeah. Like, suddenly there's images being sent of going, well, I've got this book and this book, and we're like, oh no.
Yeah. I was like, ah, finally finished the second one. Oh well, onto the third one straight away. But yeah, like, that is what I have been doing. I have been ignoring the rest of
the media and just gone down a rabbit hole.
Return that, which is why I'm gonna say I'm gonna get off this show, because I've got more book to read. You're cutting into my book.
I'm just so happy that we're all in the cult together, and yes, it's a cult.
Yep.
You know what? If everybody in the chat gets all on board and starts reading, then
you know
maybe...
that when we're going to have to do another fucking show.
Yeah, Jesus. We are.
It will happen. Because if it's like, I'm sorry to say, yes, and sorry for everyone in the chat. This is specifically for the chat, not you, Quinny. Specifically for the chat. I was very reticent. I didn't want to. I just was like, no, I can't. I'll do it when I feel like it. Like, you know, stop doing this. But no, I got into it. I was like, fuck, it's, God, it's good. Fine. And now I'm just constantly into there. And if you don't know what it's about, I'll give you the quick thing. An absolute moron dude and his cat and a velociraptor have to play a reality TV show that's basically Dungeons and Dragons that aliens are controlling. Again, you sound like a crazy hobo when you just try to explain it to people.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. No. It just doesn't make sense. But you know what? It does. It makes the most beautiful sense.
Yeah. And by the time you get through some of the books, you're like, oh shit, I think I'm actually, yes, God damn it, don't it.
Yes.
Yeah. You are emotionally invested. There are moments where you'll be like, fuck, I wasn't expecting to actually have an emotional reaction to something that character said.
Yeah. This is actually a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy crossed with Hunger Games.
A little bit of Running Man.
But all wrapped up in just a ridiculous sort of thing. Also, by the way, just start reading it, because fuck, two chapters in, you will have forgotten about the ridiculous premise because you're too busy dealing with the stuff that's in front of you.
Yep. Yeah, and you will find all these insane characters, and you too can be a part of the thing before it turns into a potentially shithouse TV show.
Yeah, get on, like, if you can get on board. Hey, it's no advertising, but it is Amazon Prime Week or something, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get it very cheap at the moment.
Good idea to get a couple of books, cheap paperback, read. But you know, reading, it's good.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Dino in the chat saying, I've discovered I have an ick of the papery feel that some books have. So the great thing about this is the audiobooks are actually fantastic. Like, they're better than any other audiobooks I've heard. So if you're not a big physical book reader, if you struggle with that, there is a great other option for you. But I also say, even if you're not a big reader, these are very easy to read. Like, there's no like flowery kind of language or purple prose throughout where you're like, fucking get on with it. This is very much like, this is happening, this is happening, this is fucked up, these things have exploded, everybody's, you know.
Like, look, it's a constant cavalcade of new characters and situations that come in, but thankfully it's not like fucking Game of Thrones where you've got to learn 18 like lineage things and all of these people. It follows just basically a guy and his cat trying to live in a reality TV game run by aliens that he doesn't really understand, and we don't either.
Nope.
Great. I still don't. Every time I start a new chapter, I'm like, what the fuck is going to happen now? And I'm fucking 5 books in.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, Monty Python, there is a certain element of that in there. So, and a bit of Hitchhiker's Guide. There's I did hear somebody go, oh, it's a bit Ready Player One. And I was like, wash your fucking mouth out.
No. Because if you say Ready Player One, you've got to talk about Ready Player Two. And we're not doing that tonight, Quinny.
No, we're not. That Tari, she says it sounds exhausting. It could be, but it's energizing all the way through. So, you know. But I'm not going to say that everybody has to do it. I'm just saying it's fun.
That's right. You asked me what I was doing. That's what I'm doing.
Yes, I knew. I was setting you up for that answer.
Proselytize anything about it. I'm like, you know, hey, you've heard about it. If this is the first time you heard about it, fine. Come to it in 6 months, like I did.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to do it. Nobody's making you. It's fine.
Come back in January and talk to me about it. Fine. Yeah. You'll get there eventually. I can't sell it to you.
No. No. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. That's completely fine. But I do say, give it a go.
Yeah. All right.
Right. Thanks, okay.
Thank you, everyone in the chat. What a lovely afternoon. Yeah, I know. Like, sorry, Tari. Like, yeah, last thing. You cannot explain it. You sound like a crazy person if you're trying to.
The more we talk about it, the more other people will go, no, that sounds fucking terrible. I don't want to.
Yeah. It's just like, just give it a crack. It's a very easy first book read.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks, okay, loves. It's been a wonderful time. It's Dion, I thoroughly enjoy hanging out with you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah, I enjoy it all the time.
You're going to have to do it. It's good because you're going to have to do it again.
I know, right? Like probably in the next day or two at work.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, everyone. Jesus. Adsky, good luck. You have to go and pretend to be interested in rugby league.
Ugh. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I'm going to go back to the dungeon, I think.
Right.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week for Widow's Bay. Get on to Widow's Bay.
All right. Be quick. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.